Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Amen, amen. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, here with my beautiful Rivera Israel. Shalom, Israelite.
Shalom, King
Free.
Shalom, family.
Amen.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Isaiah.
Shalom.
Hey.
Amen. Well, grace to peace, everyone. Hallelujah. Tonight is the Thursday night edition of the Sounds of Living Waters. Tonight is the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class with your brother Isaiah Brown, coming to you straight out of Peoria, Illinois. And tonight's precept is the prophet from... The prophet from Apotheca.
Oh, okay.
And the Bible is unanimous and homogeneous. Yes. Yes. You heard it flat out of my mouth. Once again, the prophet from Apotheca. And the Bible is unanimous and homogeneous. Ecclesiasticus 1, all wisdom comes from the Lord, and it's with Him forever. With that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown to get down with this precept. Shalom, Israelite.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family. Grace and peace. How y'all doing today?
Grace and peace.
Father's
merciful.
Oh, He sure is. The Father is merciful. You know, a beautiful, blessed day today. And I know this is a pretty long precept title, so I will be breaking the precept down today and breaking it down exactly of what it means. You know, it was just crazy when I was putting this lesson together. It's because this entire lesson is going to be in the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1. Did you know that Book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, using that with the scriptures that's in the Bible, this lesson could easily be 87 scriptures long. And that's counting more than that off of one chapter in the book of Ecclesiasticus. So I might just run a series with this because I've been reading it and I can't stop reading this Ecclesiasticus. But today is just a food for thought and just proving that what the book of the Ecclesiasticus say go hand in glove with what the scriptures say in the King James Version Bible. I didn't get a chance to grab the information out of the Vanderband Dictionary pages 102 to break down, you know, that he used scholars for the New Testament, the Old Testament, and Apotheca. But you know, Lord willing, I will bring that information. But, you know, this is just a very powerful lesson, and just to really show that the Apocrypha sound 100% just like the Bible. You know, and when it was being translated, if the Vanderband Dictionary said that he also used the Apocrypha, I honestly believe that we should have respect for the Apocrypha just as much as we do with the Bible. You know, so we got some stuff to do, you know. So what we're going to show, how the precept is going to play out, we're going to read something in the book of Ecclesiasticus, and then we're going to prove it in the Bible. So if anybody have the Apocrypha or want to download it quick, you know, go ahead and do so, so while we get ourselves situated. And do I have a reader for tonight?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, Nakomi?
Not much.
It's a blessing to hear, bro. And you know what? Before we get started, bro, this precept will came to play for the Father put on your heart. Tearing these scriptures up with the Apocrypha, you know, because to be honest, I don't think I will be able to put this lesson together if the Most High did not put it on your heart to deal with it the way you do. So, hey, one spirit, one flesh, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for bringing it, because I'm able to check some things out with the Apocrypha as well, and to use the Apocrypha hand in glove with the Bible. So we're going to get started with this precept. The name of the precept, I think I was texting fast, Sister Ware. It's not prophet, like P-R-O-F-I-T. It's actually prophet, like a prophet in the Bible. I think I texted that wrong, so that's my mistake. So the name of the precept is called The Prophet from Apocrypha and the Bible is unanimous and homogeneous. One more time. The name of the precept is called The Prophet from Apocrypha, and the Bible is unanimous and homogeneous. And the word homogeneous in the adjective simply means of the same kind, alike, of the same kind or alike. And also unanimous in the adjective, it means of two or more people fully in agreement. So it's more than one person that's in agreement. That makes it unanimous, one accord, just like the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. They are unanimous. They are one accord. And when we read this Bible, we're going to understand that the prophet that wrote the Ecclesiasticus is unanimous with the people who wrote the scriptures in the Bible. And homogeneous is just simply just saying that one more time, that of the same kind, or alike, homogeneous, an adjective. So it's basically just telling you that they both go hand in glove with one another. They both mean the exact same thing. And if we put all this respect into reading the Bible, we should also put the exact same respect to reading Apocrypha, because they are unanimous. It is the same people dealing with the same message, and they all want to accord with one another. Unanimous. And also homogeneous. Of the same kind and alike. So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head, and ask all the brothers to please uncover your head. We're going to face east towards Jerusalem and pray in, and then after I finish praying, Brother Nakomi will read whatever the Father put on his heart. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wisdom is glorious, and never fadeth away. Yea, she is easily seen of them that love her, and found of such as seek her. She prevented them that desire her, in making herself first known unto them. Whoso seeketh her early shall have no great travail, for he shall find her sitting at his door. To think therefore upon her is perfection of wisdom, and whoso watches for her shall quickly be without care. For she goeth about seeking such as are worthy of her, showeth herself favorable unto them in the ways that meeteth them in every thought. For the very true beginning of her is the desire of discipline, and the care of discipline is love. And love is the keeping of the laws, and the giving heed unto the laws is the assurance of incorruption. And incorruption maketh us near unto God. Therefore, the desire of wisdom bringeth to a kingdom. I have read Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, but Nicole, we got a lot we can do, bro. So I'm not going to do too much talking. It's time for us to get into these scriptures. So what we're going to do first, so the first thing we're about to do is I apologize for anybody who don't have the Apocrypha, but you can, if you have your phone, you can go into the search bracket and put in KJV Apocrypha, and you can be able to follow along because we're going to be in and out of the book of Apocrypha chapter 1. We're going to do the whole chapter 1. You know, but we will cut out bits and pieces to prove a point in the Bible, the KJV Bible. You know, so it's very important that you are able to follow along, because how I was taught, and I'm pretty sure how a couple of other people were taught, we were taught to, you know, we don't need the Apocrypha. You know, we don't need it. You know, we hear stuff like, you know, the Bible is good enough and stuff like that. You know, the Bible is a great thing, and you should live by it every day of your life. But the same point of time is that if recorded history tell us that the Apocrypha was also translated in the Vanderbilt Dictionary, then it's obvious that these are, I don't know why the Father allowed it to be separate, but the same point of time is that it had to be with the scripts. When King James had his gentlemen translate the Bible, which were Hebrew Israelites. So I think if it was that important to get back at the Pope to translate it, I think it's just important for us to read it. But just to get back on it, we was kind of taught that we don't need the Apocrypha, but we're going to find out that it's going to go hand in glove. It's with the scriptures. So what we're going to do to the book of Ecclesiasticus. The book of Ecclesiasticus. And we're going to be going back and forth, bro. So I'm going to let you know where we're going to start and where we're going to end. The book of Ecclesiasticus. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1. And we're not going to pick it up at verse 1 because that's a lot of reading. We'll break that down at a later time. So what we're going to do is we're going to start at verse 2. And Brother Nakomi, you're going to read verses 2 through 9. I'm not going to stop you. So we're in the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, starting at the 2. Who can number the sands of the sea and the drops of rain in the days of eternity? Who can find out the height of heaven and the breadth of the earth and the deep in wisdom? Wisdom hath been created before all things, and the understanding of prudence from everlasting. The word of God Most High is the fountain of wisdom, and her ways are everlasting commandments. To whom hath the root of wisdom been revealed, or who hath known her wise counsels? Unto whom hath the knowledge of wisdom been made manifest, and who hath understood her great experience? There is one wise and greatly to be feared, the Lord, sitting upon his throne. He created her and saw her and numbered her and poured her out upon all his works.
Right off the bat, this sounds like the book of Job and also the book of Proverbs. You know, that go hand in glove. That's like, it's like making Kool-Aid, but just a different flavor, but they both sweet. So it's exactly the same. But when you look at this, there's so many prophets in the Bible that quoted this, you know, in different ways, but you can tell by the writing, it means the exact same. So what I want to point out is verses 2. Verses 2 said, who can number the sand of the sea and the drops of rain and the days of eternity? Who can find out the height of heaven and the breadth of the earth and the deep and wisdom? Wisdom have been created before all things, and the understanding of prudence from everlasting. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Job, chapter 38, so we can hear this come directly out of his mouth. So let's go into the book of Job chapter 38. So we're right back into the Bible now. Be in the book of Job chapter 38. And let's get a better depth understanding of this right here. And this is when God was checking Job, when Job found himself to be self-righteous and he didn't need the Lord no more. So God had to come in and correct him. And how he corrected him, go hand in glove with the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. So what we're going to do is read the book of Job, chapter 38, and we're going to read verses 5 through 12. The book of Job, chapter 38, verses 5 through 12. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Job 38, starting at the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the fountain thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When
wait,
the
man,
morning
that sounds,
stars.
So that sounds just like the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1. It says, who can number the sand of the sea, and the drops of rain, and the days of eternity? Who can find out the height of heaven and the breadth of the earth and the deep and wisdom? So of course none of us can. But exactly how the book of Ecclesiasticus is being brought forth is the same question that the Most High is asking Job. You know, it says that, what it say? It says, who have laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who have stretched the line upon it? You know what I'm saying? So of course we don't know. So this is why we got to give God his uttermost respect, because we wasn't there from the beginning of the world. This is him talking to his creation. This is how he created things. We don't know that. So that's why in the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1 verse 2 it says, who can number the sand of the sea and the drops of rain? We can't, because we wasn't there when it was created. And I don't care how smart a genius you are, you can't walk up to no sand of the sea and count it bit by bit anyway. But say your verse, bro, and go ahead and read.
Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, for who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, in the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, here too shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place?
Right, so this is putting us in our place, and this is why we need to respect God. You know, in verses 7 it says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So it just shows you that it seems like that the angels were rooting God on when he was making his creations, but he did all this just by speaking words. So that's why, go back to Ecclesiasticus, it said, who can, also, it says in verse 3, who can find out the height of heaven and the breadth of the earth? In the deep and wisdom. You know what I'm saying? But we go get into the book of Job chapter 11 and finish breaking that down. So we just want to get an understanding on why they are unanimous. The people that wrote this Bible for this. Well, the Most High put it on the heart of these men to write this Bible. And the men that wrote this Bible are unanimous. And they're very homogeneous. So what we're going to do now is go right back into, well, no, we're not, because we got to finish this up. Now let's go into the book of Job, chapter 11. Let's go into the book of Job, chapter 11. We're in the book of Job, chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. The book of Job, chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. And when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Job 11, starting at 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him?
So now we got to go back to verse 9, because verse 9 sounds just like the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verses 3. It says in verse 9, in the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 9, it says the measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Now let's go right back into Ecclesiasticus. If you're using your phone, it says in verse 3, who can find out the height of heaven and the breadth of the earth and the deep and wisdom? So to me, it seems like it is talking about the exact same thing. So why do we have to just respect the KJV Bible in our hand and just throw the Apocrypha to the wayside? Doesn't make any sense. Because if they go hand in glove, we should be able to use both of them. So let's be mindful of that. They are unanimous. Now let's go into the book of let's go right back to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1. And all we want is verse 11.
Ecclesiasticus 1 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of the Lord is honor and glory and gladness and a crown of rejoicing.
Oh, but why? You know, it says the fear of the Lord is honor and glory and gladness and a crown of rejoicing. The fear of the Lord, huh? So let's check out this fear. Let's check out this fear in the book of Job, chapter 28. The book of Job, chapter 28. And all we want is verse 28.
Job 28 and verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
So that's why you rejoice, because if you depart from evil, you should rejoice, because now you got hope. You got a hope, and you have understanding that you're supposed to depart from evil. So that's why the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, verse 11, says that it's a crown of rejoicing, because it can save your life. So verse 28 says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. So you are showing God that you have understanding when you depart from evil. And when you go back to Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, verse 11, that's why it's a crown of rejoicing, because you have the knowledge and understanding to depart from evil. So let's check this thing out some more. Let's go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Before we go to Proverbs 17, let's go back to Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1. Sorry about that. I got ahead of myself. So now let's go back to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12. Just that one verse.
Ecclesiasticus 1 and 12. The fear of the Lord maketh a merry heart, and giveth joy and gladness and a long life.
So what's wrong with the prophet saying that? I mean, to me, it sounds like it's going hand in glove with the Most High. It says, the fear of the Lord maketh a merry heart, and giveth joy and gladness and a long life. Because if you fear God, you're going to obey him. You're not going to go off into your own understanding. The fear of the Lord is healthy, because you know exactly who you're dealing with. But the best part about it is that the fear of the Lord and taking heed to the scriptures, like the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1 verse 12 said, it shall give you long life. So let's check this thing out. Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22. Cause let's find out why it's a merry heart. Let's find out why we get a merry heart. Give me 1 second to get that, bro. Cause I'm using three things right over here.
Oh, okay.
We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Proverbs 17, and all we want is verses 22. Let's find out why it's a merry heart. Go ahead and read.
Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
So we ain't worried about that dry bones, but it's talking about, so what is this merry heart? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So this merry heart is just like medicine. It's our cure to have a merry heart. But it says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So when you do good, you should have a merry heart. When you keep the commandments, you should have a merry heart. When you helping the poor or helping the fatherless, you know, when you do good to your neighbor, when you talk well of people, you should have a merry heart. Because that's our medicine. That's our cure, because those are the things that God require out of us. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1:12 says, the fear of the Lord maketh a merry heart. Because you fear him, you go do what he says. And giveth joy and gladness and a long life. That's that medicine. You get that medicine, you go get long life. So keep that in mind. Now let's go back into the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to read just one verse, verse 13.
Ecclesiastes 1 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Whoso feareth the Lord, it shall go well with him at the last, and he shall find favor in the day of his death.
Ooh, okay. So that's a powerful thing. It says, whoso feareth the Lord, it shall go well with him at the last. The last what? We're going to get to that in a second. It also says, and he shall find favor in the day of his death. But what we need to find out is this first part that says, it shall go well with him at the last. But remember, we're talking about death. So let's go into the book of John chapter 11. The book of John chapter 11, and all we want is verses 26. Let's find out about this at his last. But it's talking about death, though. So the book of John chapter 11, verses 26. You get it? Go ahead and read.
St. John's 11, verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Hey. So it says what? It says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh. So what is the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of John is talking about? What are they talking about? About this, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Ecclesiastes say, whoso feareth the Lord, it shall go well with him at the last. Let's see if we can bring these two things together. Let's go into the book of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to read one verse. We're going to read verses 14, just that one verse. Did you get it? Go ahead and read.
Revelation 20 and 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is the second death.
Oh. So it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Matter of fact, read 15 too, bro.
Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So when you go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13, it says, whoso feareth the Lord, it shall go well with him at the last. So if it go well with you, what that means? That means that you're going to pass that second death, and you will get eternal life if it go well with you at the last. The last what? The last day. You will have a chance to get past that lake of fire. You will have a chance to get past that second death. And that means your name will be in the book of life. So now let's go back into the book of Ecclesiasticus, and we're going to read verses, just verses 14.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verse 14. To fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it was created with the faithful in the womb.
Oh, we talk about this a lot during the scripture in the Bible. It says, to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it was created with the faithful in the womb. Let's talk about this this being created with the faithful in the womb. Let's go into the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, because it's created with the faithful, right, in the womb. So let's go and check this thing out. Let's go into the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Because the Lord talked about this before we were born. So read the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, and all we want is verses 4 and 5. The book of Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at the 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Hey, how many times did Elder Joe teach about this, or a couple of times when you taught on this, Tommy, or even me at the exact same time? You know, it seemed like it got to this is going hand in glove with one another. It is going hand in glove with one another, because the scriptures just said, the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 14. It says, to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it was created with the faithful in the womb. You know, the book is telling us, man, that before you even born out of the womb, I knew you, and I blessed you. So that's just, you know, it's just something really to be mindful of, because I'm starting to put way more respect on Apophica, because it go hand in glove with the Bible. Talk about the exact same thing. So now let's check this thing out some more before the child was even born. Let's go into the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1. And Brother Nakomi, we're going to get verses 5 through 9. Book of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, and then we're going to skip.
Luke chapter 1, starting at the 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
I skipped down to verse 11, 11 through 17.
Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Hey. It said in the book of Ecclesiasticus, so like the comments say, it's good enough for me. It says in Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verse 14, and it was created with the faithful in the womb, before they came out into this world and created. The Lord already knew them. Before they came out the womb, he blessed them. He put their spirit on them. Just like the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1 is talking about. So now let's go right back to the book of Ecclesiasticus. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 22. The book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 22. No, not chapter 22. Chapter 1, verses 22. Just that one verse. So we can break this thing down and find it in the Bible. The book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verses 22. Just that one verse. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ecclesiasticus 1. 22. A furious man cannot be justified, for the sway of his fury shall be his destruction.
Right, so you know, of course, you know the Bible always stresses about a furious man and how you need to depart from him, because we all need to understand is that if you're always around a furious man, remember, he's going to get destruction. That spirit can also dwell on you. You know, you're a cool, decent guy, right? And you make friends with an angry man who's always angry all the time, then guess what? It's a strong possibility that you might end up being angry, bitter, and frustrated because that same spirit lashed out on you. But Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verses 22 said, a furious man cannot be justified, for the sway of his fury shall be his destruction. So let's check out this fury. Let's check out this anger. Let's check out this wrath. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 29. Book of Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to read verses 22 through 24.
Proverbs 29, starting at the 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall upholdeth the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing, bewaileth it not.
Right, so let's go back up to this 22. It says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. But the proverb just used it in a very great term as well. It says, a furious man cannot be justified, for the sway of his fury shall be his destruction. So we look at verses 22. It says that a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So remember, after his transgression is going to come what? His destruction. Just like the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1 verse 22 just said. And it also said in verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. It's just a certain time before that angry man see his destruction, before he meet his demise. So we don't want to make friends with someone that get that anger and bitter spirit on them, because it's just a matter of time before they get their destruction. To keep yourself straight, it's best to depart from a wicked man. Well, no, I meant to say an angry man. You know, a little food for thought little here and now. So now let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 24. Let's get a little bit more about this. The book of Proverbs chapter 22. the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Sorry about that. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 24 through 25.
Proverbs 22, starting at 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul.
So that's just the same thing. I mean, all this, the Apocrypha in the Bible is talking about the exact same thing. Why do you think the Lord put it on Solomon's heart to put this down? It says to make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. So when you see somebody that's always bitter and angry, you need to separate yourself from that person. Why? 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Because that same anger and bitterness can latch on to you, and then you become anger and bitterness. And then if don't nobody put a stop to it, you're just going to have a whole bunch of angry and bitter people. That's why we need to read the Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verse 22 again. A furious man cannot be justified, for the sway of his fury shall be his destruction. So all this is talk about the same thing. All this stuff ends up with destruction. If you don't want your soul to be destructed by any type of wickedness, then stay away from the wickedness. Don't let the devil into your house. If you're wicked and envious or got this hatred or spite on you, then stay away from me, because that's the wrong spirit. I don't want that type of person around me, because all you're going to do is bring all that negative energy into my presence, and then if I stick around too long, I'm going to learn your ways. So we got to be mindful of that. So now let's go back into the book of Ecclesiasticus. And we're going to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, verses 23.
Ecclesiasticus 1 and 23.
Mm-hmm, just that one verse.
A patient man will bear for a time, and afterward joy shall spring up unto him.
Right, so it says a patient man will tear for a time, and afterward joy shall spring up unto him. Because sometimes, you know, living this life, it is kind of tough, you know, but we got to stay patient. I know it's hard staying patient. Lord knows I know. But, you know, but that's something we should be working at, is staying patient, you know, because times do get hard, and it might make you want to tear up sometimes. But at the same point in time is we need to understand that it's only for a moment. So let's check this thing out some more. Let's go into the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5. Just that one verse.
Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Well, so just hold on. You know, just hold on, because, I mean, trust me, we all got trials and tribulations, you know. You might be a little late on your rent. You might be a little loose on money. Just be patient and wait on God to bless you, because he come at the right time. He always on time. Might not be on our clock, but our clock don't matter. It's the clock that he decided to help us out. But, you know, this is telling us. It says that we've been made endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we just need to have that faith and be patient, that you go have your trials and tribulations, but just hold on. Things will get better in the morning. Let's have that faith on that. Now let's go right back into the book of Ecclesiasticus. And just that, we will Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, and all we want is verse 26.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, 26. If thou desire wisdom, keep the commandments, and the Lord shall give her unto thee.
Amen. So it says, if thou desire wisdom, right? If you want wisdom, keep the commandments, and the Lord shall give her unto thee. Who is this her? Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs chapter 3. Let's get a better understanding of this her. The book of Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 13 through 18.
Proverbs chapter 3, starting at the 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her.
This is talking. This her is the Bible, the Word of God. This is what it's able to do for us. Let's read some more about this her. This is not a part of the lesson, but I'm going to put it in anyway. Go to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6.
Proverbs chapter 1, starting at the 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equality, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings.
So this Bible that we read in, this her that it referred it to. So this her is just another word of saying Bible. And this is what the Bible is able to do for us. It says that to know wisdom and instruction. If you want wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. If you want to have wisdom and instructions, and if you want to perceive the words of understanding, if you want to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Equity is just another word for balance. This her also gives subtlety. Subtlety is skill to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Discretion is caution. You be cautious with your life. You're not too crazy. You're not too quick to go do something crazy. This her, which is the Bible, is able to do this. But in order for this stuff to happen, what? Verse 5. A wise man will hear. The very first part of getting these instructions is that you got to hear. And will increase learning. You hear, then you're going to increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall what? Attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Because if you don't understand the Bible, it's going to be nothing but dark sayings to you anyway. But if the Lord opens you up, he will give you that light and you'll be able to see what's written in the pages of this book. But in order to get this wisdom, knowledge, understanding, we got to hold on to her. We got to understand that this Bible was more precious than any jewelry that any man could obtain. It's very, very, very important to read this book, because then you will find the ways of life. Now let's go into the book of Let's go to the book of Proverbs. No. We just read that. Let's go on to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 27. And we're going to read verses 27 through 30.
Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, starting at 27.
Mm-hmm, 27 through 30.
For the fear of the Lord is wisdom and instruction, and faith and meekness are his delight. Distrust not the fear of the Lord when thou art poor, and come not unto him with a double heart. Be not a hypocrite in the sight of men, and take good heed what thou speakest. Exalt not thyself, lest thou fall, and bring dishonor upon thy soul. And so God discover thy secrets, and cast thee down in the midst of the congregation, because thou camest not in the truth to fear of the Lord, but thy heart is full of deceit.
Mm. So I had to really buckle down to just try to get some stuff out of here, because this, you know, that 27 through 30 you just read could go on all night long with scriptures. So the Bible, to obtain this Bible OCD that's in my heart, we just go find out a couple of things and we be done with this lesson. So, but what I really want to get up out of here in this precept, well, in the scriptures you just read, Brother McCormick, is that the exalting, you know, the Lord said if you exalt yourself, what? He's going to shame you and embarrass you and show your shortcomings to all men. So when you're exalting yourself, what do you think you're doing? You're showing proud and you're boasting. So let's get an understanding of this that the book of Ecclesiasticus chapter 1 is talking about. So now what we're going to do is go to one of my favorite verses into the book of Job chapter 11. So let's go to the book of Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Job 11, chapter 3 through 6. And after that, we have one more after this.
Job 11. Starting
uh-huh, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For
mm-hmm.
thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquities deserveth.
So now we got to understand this. So you have no room in your heart to be exalting yourself, because the Lord will take you down and show you who you really is anyway. You know, every man and woman have shortcomings. Everybody is not perfect yet. That perfect that's going to get us to the kingdom. You know, we might be clean for now, enough to work with. But everybody have their shortcomings and got business they don't want nobody to know. Everybody. It was in your heart or anything. If you exalt yourself and you put yourself on high, then the Lord will reveal your dirty laundry to the people. But in order for you to exalt yourself, you got to be very proud and boastful. We need to humble ourselves in the eyesight of the Most High God. Humble yourself, and whatever he showed you, be thankful and learn to help people. So let's find out some more of this about this behavior that can happen to us also with exalting ourselves. And this scripture will be last. Let's go into the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 18, and then we're going to skip and read verses 30, and that will be last.
Romans 1 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
I skipped into verse 30.
30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents.
Amen. Without so the wrath of God. Oh, that's all we need, bro. I just want to hit that pride and boasters up in there, just using that for a sign of exalting. Verses 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You know what I'm saying? And that proud and boasted is also a part of it as well. You know? And if you're proud and boasting, it's obvious you go exalt yourself is because you're not paying attention to your own shortcomings and you're not showing humility. So what we just got out of this precept tonight is that the Bible and the Apocrypha are unanimous. And they're also homogeneous. One more time for the definition. Homogeneous is an adjective that means of the same kind or just alike. And the word unanimous is of two or more people fully in agreement. And we read from, and Solomon talked about what Apocrypha was talking about. Job talked about what the Apocrypha was talking about. David talked about what the Apocrypha talked about, and so on and so forth. But this precept was to really show you that they both go hand in glove with one another. They are unanimous and also homogeneous. And I thank y'all for y'all time. But he was on fire. I didn't want to stop him.
Thank you.
Good lesson.
Amen.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro.
Shalom is like great lesson, man. Great reading, Lil Comey, man. I know you was like a fish in the water, like in your element, like all day. And, man, this is what happened. You know what I mean? The Father been merciful. You know, one plant the seed, the Lord get another one water, and the God of Israel get an increase, man. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. You know, we can never put a gauge on when the Lord is doing his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a perfect witness of that. You know, for years, man, I've been hearing, you know, Isaiah holler about this Apocrypha, man, you know, how it's been affecting his spirit. And, you know, and now he's witnessing that it is, and it's showing the testimony that both the Word of God and the Apocrypha, which is the Word of God, forgive me, you know, and like my man brought up earlier, and if you go look it up, it was in the King James in the 1611, you know. Why, you know, that in itself shows that it was homogeneous. You know, and I really love the fact that you showed the coincide. And like my sister Mary said, if you had any doubts, you know, concerning the word, concerning the Apocrypha, you know, I know one thing that cleared up a lot of thoughts, and those of us that never heard it. It raised a lot of questions. It raised a lot of questions. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for those of us that, you know, that goes to these certain classes and so forth that teach against the Apocrypha, believe this. Not everybody in the classes agree with that. You got a lot of people that still read the Apocrypha that go to them in classes, man. So it's not, you know, it's not mm-hmm. everything like, you know, everybody cut out the same cloth. You can't. A lot of people, like Nakomi said, man, when he was in Carolina, he kept the Sabbath day with Sunday church people that, because they had Bible studies on Saturdays, you know. And this was what you would do, you know what I mean, if you were in that environment. But it don't mean that, you know, everything that somebody say don't make it the end all be all to everybody's life. Some of us actually think outside the box, you know, and for good reason. And one is that Apocrypha is a bad piece. Great job, man. The way to walk that Ecclesiastes and the wisdom of Solomon, and then let Solomon testify himself through the Proverbs, you know, and even Job, you know, testifying of the wisdom was Solomon is testifying of the wisdom of Job, you know, saying that Job was before Solomon. But yeah, this is awesome, man. This is an awesome piece. Just looking at it and reading it from the tread, it's self-explanatory, you know.
Yes, sir.
If anybody just looked at that tread on the Sounds of Living Waters, they would see that is self-explanatory. Great lesson, man. Great precept. I yield the mic, man. Great precept. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro. Fire reading, bro. Great reading. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Great lesson. It's glad to see your growth in learning these things. Like me, like I know a lot of people here are not from where I'm from. I came from the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ. And I came into this almost 18 years ago with the Apocrypha at the same time as I had the Bible. But like I'm saying, they showed me in the Xanderman as soon as I got to class that the Apocrypha was a part of the Bible. So the people that created this Bible, in the form that we have it, at first this was in it. But see, you said you don't understand how it was taken out. Well, these things are precursors. I mean, it tell you in Revelation chapter 22, he said, I'm saying he knew people was going to add and take some things away. But I've been using it for almost 18 years. Like I'm saying, because I know everybody don't deal with the Apocrypha, I use the Apocrypha almost in every lesson, but I could use it way more in whatever subject that I'm using from the Bible, but I don't, because I know some of the people listening ain't going to want to hear that many scriptures from the Apocrypha. But like I'm saying, I got them at the same time. To me, both, this is the Bible. They're hand in hand. I'm saying, we just like we're dealing with Ecclesiasticus. Ecclesiasticus is just like any wisdom book in the Bible. This is like Psalms. This is like, I'm saying, this is like Proverbs. When you get when you read it more, Isaiah, when you start reading the wisdom of Solomon, it's going to read like this saying. It's going to read like the wisdom books too. It's going to be breaking things down like the wisdom books also, like I'm saying, even like the prophet Job and things of that sort. So like I'm saying, I know a lot of people are persuaded not to read it, but if you do your research, you will see that this book was with the rest of the Bible. And in the Maccabees, it has the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah, where it also tells you in the Bible in St. John's chapter 10, verse 22, and I believe 23, that he dealt with this thing. So if he dealt with it, that means he had to deal with the Maccabees. He had to be that book had to be known to him. So like Isaiah said in Job, no, I say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. So with that, bro, I love your growth. I love the things you brought out, bringing connector and saying, making them harmonious. I'm saying, y'all saying that, Haman, I'm saying that making these two things harmonious. So with that, bro, I yield to Mike. Great lesson.
Hey, amen. Like I said it before, I'll say it again, bro. You know, and Joe said it earlier, you know, one planet, one water, but the Lord get the increase, man. So, you know, like I said, you're going to have, if I'm able to live and see it, we're going to have a multitude of lessons with the prosperity. You know, I was at work reading on my break and in my lunchtime, man. I couldn't put it down. You know, I already got my next precept just by reading chapter 2. You know, that's already done just by putting 2 and 2 together. So, you know, I'm just humbled and thankful enough that the Father would even show me something like this. You know, and to be around amazing people like you, Nakomi, and Job, and Sister Ray, and Sister Mary, and the rest of the people that's on the Blog Talk Show, you know, it's a beautiful thing and a great opportunity to be amongst you guys. You know, so in all, I get a mic with that.
Amen. Can I
Amen.
Say something else?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but the book of Joshua is coincide with the creation, just like the Apocrypha coincides with the rest of the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
I got the book of Joshua, Sister Mary, and you're right. It gets a little bit more to say about the first like 5 books of the Bible, and
I'm saying
I go through it. It just says a little bit more in some spots, but yeah, I got that book that had it since 2012. So
yeah.
I downloaded me a good Bible app because I got Joshua up on this app. I'm going to check that out too. But thanks for bringing that out, sis. I get a mic.
Hey, man, I got to say myself, you know, I just want to say that, you know, me growing up in the hue that I came out of, you know, I was taught, you know, that Apocrypha was, you know, the devil.
You know, another funny thing, too, is that I don't
man,
understand
listen,
how they...
bro,
Go ahead.
I tell you, but, you know, I thank the Father for putting the Comey in a position of teaching and doing the and the Father putting him in a position to do the to do a ministry for him. I never heard it till I heard him break it down, and when he broke it down, it made sense, and I was like, whoa, it has a speech on itself. And then some of us would say, well, the Bible have no need of a book unto itself, you know. Well, I get that. You know, we quote that script, but we quote it loosely because we would turn around and use a dictionary. We would turn around and use an encyclopedia. We would turn around and Google some stuff, you know, to testify whatever we're dealing with, regardless of what it is, if we're dealing with history, paganism, or whatever. You know, we'll use another book that would testify of the word of God being true. But then they turn around and use that scripture to say that the Apocrypha, you know, is not, because the Bible don't need no other book. That's, you know, come on, man. I mean, now you sound like a hypocrite, you know. And I don't want to be, I hate, when I see things, it hits me and I see you and I hear you say one thing and I hear you and I see you doing something else, and that's when I have to pump my brakes. Regardless of whatever you use, if you're using somebody else's old text or somebody else's old theories or somebody else's this or somebody else's that. Okay, I get all of that, but then don't turn around and say, well, the Apocrypha is this and you using that. Because now you're a hypocrite, you know. And I ain't for one to try to be blasting people or whatnot. Well, yeah, okay, I do. But not a lot. But when I heard my man run his book, man, when I heard him run the Apocrypha for the first time, I was like, whoa. I said, wait a minute, what did you do? And he showed me the book. And then one day he bought a few of them to class, and I still got mine. So the cover's falling off of it, but I still got it. And And I got to admit, it's, you know, it is what it is, you know. And we could say, you know, that this book and we don't need, okay, it's like saying we don't need to learn Hebrew. Okay, well, that's on you. If you choose to do that, then don't get in my way and say that I'm sinning because I decided to read and do those things, because that's between me and God anyway. You know, mm-hmm. My take is, watch what you're doing in the dark. If I'm doing this for the light, then be careful what you're doing in the dark. That means your dark is just that much more magnifying because you're judging me for my light.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Praise God, like my brother Nakomi said, in your growth. And I really appreciate the Father allowing you to come to this point of courage. Courage, you know, to even testify that, because a lot of brothers and sisters just cut out of that. You will never do that. Even though they got one at home, even though they read it religiously, they will not let anybody know. It's like Nicodemus. They have a Nicodemus thing with the Apocrypha. Trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that. You know, you got a lot of Nicodemuses in those three letter classes when it comes to
mm-hmm.
the Apocrypha. When it comes to that, you got a lot of them. I didn't know how many until I got outside of the camp, and then I started talking to a lot of brothers and sisters, and I realized that, oh, shoot, I didn't know, you know. But, hey, man, it is what it is, man. You know, to each his own. Let every man be persuaded in their own mind, right? Okay.
I feel exactly what you're saying. You and Nakomi, I feel it 100%, man, you know. But, yeah, that's why it is so important to look verse up, because remember, man, you know, the Bible do not say in vain that the righteous is scarcely saved. He don't say that in vain, you know, and it's not good for us to look at that as it's in vain. You know, the Bible said the righteous is scarcely saved. And when you look that word up, Job, you know, you brought to our attention that it meant difficult, you know. And then we got to look at the talents that God gave us. You know, he gave some pastors. You know, the Lord put in my heart to look the word pastor up when I did that precept. You know, it's a man that leads a flock of men. So if you lead somebody, even though the Bible should have the last word, what happened if you lead a flock of men? They're going to listen to you. You know, and a lot of us has been into that situation, you know, of following men. You know, that we shouldn't be following men at all, period. But at the same point in time, as we understand, he gave some prophets. You know what I'm saying? So if you lead a flock of men, you know, you shouldn't go out of the Bible. Because now think about it, you know, to this day, you know, to this very day, you know, I'm still eliminating, well, the Father is still eliminating bad teachings, you know, like a lot of things, you know, so I can just imagine how hard it is for other people to eliminate bad doctrine, you know, it takes a Father to do that. You know, like, for example, like the Apocrypha, you know, people won't look at the Apocrypha because a man told them not to, you know, when it comes to the feast days. And, you know, like how Nakomi brought in that precept of the feast of dedication. You know, those are amazing things, but we don't look at it because a man, or well, some people might not look at it because their upper heads tell them not to. Fringes. Jesus Christ came in the flesh 2,000 years later wearing fringes. But man tell us not to. You know, so to me, just what I'm trying to say is that it is very, 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 very scary being a preacher. It's because what you say, people just tend to do. So what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, you're right, Joe. You know, you are right. You know, like how you said, how you left your dwelling spot, you know, and checked out other people. You know, I left my dwelling spot. You know, start checking out you guys and Pharaoh and Brother Miles and stuff like that. You know, it's just that the Lord is really showing us, you know, what's really going on. You know, so it's a blessing, a difficult thing to be around brothers like that. But, you know, I just, you know, I'm not attacking nobody in the things that they believe or the things that they teach. But what I can get out of it is that I learned what to do and I learned what not to do. You know, but not to the point that I'm asking anybody or we ask anybody. It's just it is what it is. You know, so just with all that, I've just been, you know, I've been thinking about that stuff. I get a mic with that.
Amen. Amen. And like I said, you know, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know yeah or nay. You know, because when, you know, when you get out there in the wilderness, when Paul, like Paul had left, man, once you get out there and the Lord start dealing with you, you know, like you like to, I like to say outside the camp, you know, because we already left Egypt, but the Lord said, no, you got to come outside the camp and talk to me. And I mean, you got to come out your comfort zone, Jack. You know, you got to let go of your fears, you got to let go of all of that. And then you come to see him. And he'll reveal to you what it is that you need to know. You know, and a lot of us just haven't gotten to that yet. And some of us may never get to that. You know, and that's fine. You know, like I said, when the Father started showing me about that 180 calendar thing, man, I started realizing, you know, after, you know, I started seeing the deviations of a lot of different things, I said, wait a minute, man. I had to start really backing back, you know, off of tradition. And when my brother brought that Apocrypha, man, and I listened, and I was like, you know, even then when I was listening, I had, you know, I was already there because I started seeing things. I had to back up because I started seeing variations, and then I started seeing, you know, doctrine. You know, you got doctrine. And I'm talking about, you know, like you said, fringes, man. How you going to tell somebody that you can't wear fringes when it says forever?
You don't get me started, man.
And I don't know, I think that Kobe, when he came to the class and he had his fringes on, I thought he was trying me to see how I was going to dig. He had on his green fringe wrapped around his waist, man, with his tizzies on it. I said, what's that? Oh, it's my fringe. It's this, that, and the other. I said, all right, I did that. That's cool. I turned around, you know, because I thought it was slick. I thought it was kind of groovy, you know. But, you know, yeah, anything, you know, I just thought that was groovy. I did. But then I started learning that it was a part of the law, you know. But, and then I started understanding, you know, that everything, you know, that I was taught, you know, you had some things I was actually taught against in the law. And that's those things I had to revisit. When something says forever, and then somebody said, no, that's not forever, then I'm like, wait a minute. You can't take forever out of something. You know? Can't do that. You know, and then say, okay, but over here, forever mean this, and forever mean that over there. But when it comes to this, oh, that only means until Jesus come back. Well, then that means God changed. That means he changed. And he said, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from his law till heaven and earth pass away. Is that not a part of the law? So you can't teach against it, because if you teach against it, you're going to be called least in the kingdom. So even if you don't even if you don't wear, even if that's not your dig, just don't teach against it because that's when you're in trouble. You know what I mean? Can't tell somebody that's contrary. So, you know, that's why, you know, that's why I'm mad on that, you know. Although I, you know, I sport mine when the spirit do rise. However,
right.
With that being said, man, great job, Nicole Reed, and everybody that's listening. Hey, you learned something tonight. So with that being said, you got any closing comments, bro?
No, I did enough talking.
All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. Little brothers and sisters, catch your brother Isaiah Brown, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class here at the Sounds of Living Waters every Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. And believe me, you know, the Father has something in it for you. There's a message in it for you. Go read them scriptures. It's a message in it for you. It's something there that will touch your spirit. Okay? So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Amen. Read your Bible.
Oh,
Lord.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the most high lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.